This is the Diamond Hogs Podcast with Mason Choate and Robert Stewart.
Welcome to the Diamond Hogs Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Choate, joined by my good friend, Robert Stewart, and we have a great episode of the podcast for you today. The Razorbacks, still ranked number two in the country, Robert. They are currently 27-3 overall on the season. Just a consistent machine that's continuing to produce wins. So over the weekend, an impressive series sweep at Vanderbilt, Robert. We got to talk about that one. I mean, it's a good Vanderbilt team, and the Hogs got the job done pretty easily for the most part. And then you look at it, and then they take care of the job against Grambling on Tuesday at Dickey Stevens Park in North Little Rock. And then you got Missouri coming to town this weekend. The team that we love so much, the Missouri Tigers, they are an embarrassment to the SEC. We will talk about that. The good thing is they're playing the game of Fayetteville, Robert, so we don't have to worry about, you know, are they playing on a field that's just an embarrassment to the game of baseball. No, they're not. They're playing at Baumwalker Stadium. So we'll talk about that. We're excited to talk about that. Robert, how are you today?
I'm good, man. I liked what I saw from the Hogs this past weekend. Obviously, 9-0 victory on Friday. That's a statement win. That's how you want to start a series in the SEC, especially on the road where you may have this nugget. When was the last time Arkansas actually won a series in Nashville? It's been a while.
It was 2010. First time since 2010 they won a series in Nashville. I don't know off the top of my head as far as a sweep in Nashville. I'll try to find that while you continue.
Anyway, you know, I think back to the last time the Hogs were there, you know, started strong again, won game one, and then ultimately collapsed in game two. I think there was like a 6-run eighth for Vandy. Went on to lose game three as well, and that cost them a share of the SEC title that year. Or they got a share of it, but it cost them the outright title. Anyway, Zach Root, incredible on Friday. Saturday, you know, extra innings, heroics, you know, free outs. Can't give them to the Hogs. They're gonna make you pay for them. Bunch of manufactured runs there, and then another crooked number in the eighth to cap off the sweep on Sunday. Just winning in multiple different fashions, and I don't know what there is to complain about.
Yeah. So his first series sweep in Nashville since 1994 for the Razorbacks. So they now have at least an 8-4 start in SEC play for the eighth consecutive season. So they're 8-1 in SEC play. That streak marks the best stretch of starting 8-4 or better in SEC play by a team since LSU did so in eight consecutive seasons from 1991 to 98. So
Dave Van Horn is now at Skip Berkman Company.
Yeah, he's look, man, what they're doing is pretty impressive. Obviously, it hasn't resulted in the postseason success that everybody wants, but what they've been doing in these regular seasons the past, you know, I don't know, five seasons is pretty darn impressive, Robert.
And it is.
And so let's just get into the Vanderbilt series. Before we do, though, let's tell you about hogbeat.com, HAWGBEAT.com. We are the Rivals website covering your Arkansas Razorbacks. Basketball season's over, but nobody is as locked in on the transfer portal as we are. Jackson Collier does it better than anybody. You know the name JC Hoops. He's over on our website. He is worth the price of admission on his own. And then you also have myself. I'm the publisher. We got covering spring football. Eight more practices, Robert, and you also got the spring game on April 19th. So we got all that covered. A lot of that is premium. You got to pay for the subscription because we are going to practice and standing there for like 2.5 hours, and then just all the stuff that we wrote down, we're putting it together for our subscribers. So we appreciate those who pay for that. It's a lot of work, and but we enjoy it. And then also baseball season is in full swing, Robert. Missouri coming to town this weekend. But after that, and we've talked about this, things get pretty interesting. Every series after that, for the most part, is a lot of fun. Even the A&M one, which isn't what it was going to be preseason, that'll still be a good time. So go to hogbeat.com, all that coverage. Less than $10 a month, less than $100 a year, but you can also get a lot of stuff for free over there. So please just give us a shot. It's HAWGBEAT.com, hogbeat.com. All right, Robert, on Friday, the Hogs win 9-0. Zach Root, I mean, just incredible again. We'll talk about it. And then Saturday, 6-4 win in 10 innings. Sunday, 7-3 win for the Razorbacks. So going to Friday, Robert, Second straight quality start for Zach Root. And I mean, what a turnaround for a guy who looked, I mean, I won't say he looked awful at Ole Miss, because I think we talked about how the numbers don't really tell the whole story from that start. But man, he has turned it around with two really good starts back to back.
Yeah, without a doubt. Like you said, the numbers were ugly from that first weekend at Ole Miss. Since then, all he's done is throw 14 and two-thirds innings in two starts with two earned runs allowed, and 14 strikeouts in that period. So almost a 9K per nine in those two starts, and he's done a great job of saving the bullpen, right? Aidan Jimenez coming out to clean up the one out he couldn't get in the eighth, and then Dylan Carter throwing a scoreless frame in the ninth to finish it off, set you up incredibly well for the rest of the weekend. Just the longevity alone. And then you consider the fact that he didn't give up a run. I mean, it's just excellent stuff. And he took a no-hitter into the fifth, by the way. And that one hit he gave up immediately erased it with a double play. So incredible stuff on the mound from Zach Root. And yet I almost feel like the bigger storyline was the Cam Kozel redemption tour this weekend.
Yeah, the Cam Kozel redemption tour. I mean, obviously that was the fun thing that everybody wanted to talk about. Now, naturally, because Cam Kozel plays for Arkansas baseball and his head coach is Dave Van Horn, when he was asked about, did it mean a little bit more, the things that we would love to have a great quote, he was basically like, "Nope, not at all. Didn't even think about it." It's like, dude, of course you thought about it.
I
And
think he thought about it.
He eventually got to it a little bit, and he was like, it's a little bit like visiting an ex-girlfriend. And man, he made his ex-girlfriend jealous this weekend.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. A couple of home runs on Friday, five of the nine runs batted in for the Hogs that day. And I believe with his three RBIs on Saturday as well, he knocked in more runs than the Commodores did all weekend.
Wow. That's pretty darn impressive, man. So yeah, the Friday win, that was a statement win, in my opinion. I mean, you go to Vanderbilt and you take care of business 9-0, you're looking pretty good. But the next day, oh, let's just keep talking about this game though. I think that you look at Charles Davelin and the way that he's swinging the bat. Vejeva Aloy and Kuhio Aloy struggled in this game, but you have a guy in Charles Davelin who is keeping your lineup elite when guys like maybe the Aloys aren't staying as consistent as you want. Brent Iredale didn't have a hit in this game. But you got Davelin, you got Maxwell has two hits. You talked about Kozel. Even Helfrich has a hit in this game. He walks twice. Souza walks twice. Like, they're getting production from everywhere in the lineup, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, when you take nine walks, you probably as well as you can hit if you're Arkansas should score nine runs, right? Nine hits, nine walks, every which way they find a way to get on, right? You mentioned it, Davalon, Iredale, Helfrich, Souza all walked twice. It's just consistent up and down the order. Like you said, Maxwell, a couple of hits, a couple of extra base hits, had himself a leadoff home run there in the fourth to double the lead, had a ground rule double, came around to score on Souza's walk. So, and like you said, there was pretty much zero production from the Aloys in this game, right? It took until the ninth for Cujillo to hit an RBI double. That was the first hit in their 10 trips to the plate combined. So, the fact that they're production out of the two and three holes was next to nothing, and for them to still score nine runs, it speaks to the depth of this team.
Yeah, they struck the team. Arkansas struck out 10 times in this game. The Aloy brothers had five of those combined between the two of them. So, in Vanderbilt starter JD Thompson, he was really dominant to start this game. He looked
Yeah,
really
six
good.
up, six down.
Yeah, he looked strong at least through those first two innings, like you mentioned. And then the Hogs kind of opened it up a little bit, got to the bullpen, and things kind of went their way for the most part.
He still got through six, though. I mean, he did a good job of setting the Commodores bullpen up. It was just that it paled in comparison to Zach Root.
Yeah. In this game, Charles Davelin extended his hitting streak to 10 games. And it took until the ninth inning for a leadoff single, so that was he waited until the last minute for that one. But the Razorbacks get the win in that game to improve to what were they, 24-3 at that point. And then on Saturday, so I did not watch Saturday's game, but I listened to a little bit of it on the radio. The Hogs win in extras, Robert, 6-4. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so they jump out to a 2-0 lead in the second. Guess who goes deep again? Cam Cosgel. That's his third and five at bats at that point. And again, like you said, making his ex-girlfriend jealous, right? Gabe Gackel, one of his best starts in a long time, I feel like. Got through 5 2/3, just an out shy of a quality start. My favorite of his six numbers across his stat line here, zero in the walks column. Seven strikeouts, so still got the swing and miss stuff, but that was a huge improvement. I think that marked an end to like probably three of the last three or four starts in which he had walked three guys or more. So, really, really impressive. Got to be great for Gackle's confidence to be throwing like that again. Did get the no decision because they scratched out a run in the fifth, a run in the sixth. Lead off singles both times to for Vandy. You trade runs in the seventh. Justin Thomas Jr. with a leadoff home run in the seventh to go back on top. But then Carson Wiggins gives up yet another leadoff man aboard, this time in the form of a walk. Really manufactured run there. Vastine stole second, moved up on a ground out, scored on wild pitch. So didn't give up a hit. Did walk a couple guys, but pretty good damage control, all things considered, after the leadoff walk for Carson Wiggins there. And then Jimenez comes in for the second day in a row, only got the one out on Friday, right? But he went 3 1/3, got out of the jam in the seventh, struck out the side in the eighth, gave up a two out hit in the ninth, wasn't a problem. And then by the time the 10th rolls around, he's working with a three-run lead. As I mentioned, the Hogs did a good job of manufacturing runs, right? Vehivo Loy reaches on an error, a couple hits after that, a couple of squeeze plays from Brent, no, excuse me, Cam Cosgel and Ryder Helfrich. They both went down as fielder's choices that did not produce outs, and both guys got credit for sack bunts and RBIs. So really good small ball there from the bottom of the order. I say the bottom of the order. Cam Cosgel had hit three home runs in his last two games and then goes out and does something like that. So extremely versatile weekend at the plate for Cosgel. That was his eighth RBI, as I mentioned. And then another leadoff man aboard proves fruitful for the Commodores in the 10th, but Jimenez, man, got the job done. Three hits, again, no walks. Four strikeouts and 3 1/3. So, bullpen does its job after a much improved start from Gabe Gackel. You're on mute.
Sorry. So Jimenez, we're gonna have to talk about his importance, given an injury update to Parker Coyle. So remind me to provide that later.
I was wondering why we didn't see Coyle this weekend.
Yes, remind me to provide that later. That keeps the people sticking around. That's a little
Right.
old radio
Tease.
trick right there.
There you go.
Carson Wiggins, I was talking with someone over the weekend about this, and I wonder, I can't remember if we've had this conversation on the podcast or not. At this point in his career, I feel like you probably trust him a little bit more than you trusted his brother, although I want to say they were probably using Jackson more at this point.
Yeah, and they were not shy about using Jackson as a closer initially too, right? They've thrown Carson out in that role before, but they also haven't been married to it. I feel like they've got a litany of options, honestly. Here's a quick stat for you on Jimenez, if I may. Looks like in 11 innings in conference play so far, he is rocking a 0.82 ERA, a 0.64 WHIP. He's got 14 strikeouts to zero walks.
That's that Oregon State Beaver in him right there.
Yep.
So yeah, he's important, man. He's gonna be key for this team down the stretch, especially out of the bullpen. And they should hopefully get Gage Wood back. Dave said that they're hoping that Gage would throw this week. I don't know if that means live or not. I'd have to go back and find the exact quote, but I think we're getting closer to a Gage Wood return. I don't know, how many innings he's going to be able to throw. They'll probably do the old, let's start him with one inning and then we'll go from there. But hopefully you get Gage Wood back soon as well. All right, anything to add about game two from the series at Vanderbilt, Robert?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yet another 2-run win. That was their worst margin of victory on the weekend.
So moving on to the first to game three, which resulted in a 7-3 win for the Razorbacks and the first series sweep of the Commodores in general since 2005, Robert.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's what, the second time in the Van Horn Corbin era?
What has to be, I guess. I don't know.
Unless they did it in their first couple of years, but
Could have.
first time in 20 years.
Yeah, that anything you do something for the first time in 20 years, it's worth noting. So,
Yeah.
this game, Cheese goes 5 innings. Robert gives up 3 runs on 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, and then the Bibster, Ben Bibee. This is the Ben Bibee that I feel like I've talked about. I feel like I'm the only person who has said that I really think Ben Bibee has it. We just haven't seen it from him.
Not to call out Hutch again, but do you remember before the league slate started, and he was like, "Will he record over half an inning this year?"
That
He's
and
He's got seven scoreless.
Hutch is the exact person I'm thinking about, by the way. I love the guy, but I've sat next to him in the press box a couple different times and told him like I believe in Bibee, and I think he's out on Bibee, and it's fair. I've been out on a few different players, and so like as individuals, you're out on other players, and that happens, and some people are gonna get offended. If Ben Bibee's parents are listening, you're probably pissed at Andrew Hutchinson, but don't be. Because now I'm sure he'll write the most glorious story about Ben Bibee ever when he gets around to it. Because, like you said, this start for Ben Bibee in SEC play is not what we saw coming, Robert. He goes 4 innings of relief in this game, no runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts to close this game out for the Razorbacks. That's impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah, it is. That was, the first, I guess, this is his third outing, right? So he's appeared every weekend at this point. First outing wasn't really a big situation, right? They were losing big to Ole Miss. Second one was, although he only went an inning. This one was huge because, Vandy was up when he came in the game. And he just got 12 outs, no problem, 7 on strikes. That's incredible. And he was throwing so well, his team goes out and yet another leadoff home run starts things. Charles Davalon at second of the game, 5-run eighth. All of a sudden you're up by 4 and you're on cruise control. He struck out the side in the eighth after they took a 7-3 lead, and then worked around a 1-out hit in the ninth, and that was that. I mean, really, his only trouble came in the sixth when he gave up a double after walking a guy with one out. And then that guy, Jonathan Bastine, made a base running error, and all of a sudden there were 2 outs and not 2 men in scoring position. So got a gift, struck out the next guy, and it was all pretty much gravy from there. One base runner over 3 innings the rest of the way.
Yeah, man. This was just another example of the Razorbacks getting the job done, and finding a way to win a game. Because when they went down at times last year, it was hard for them to come back, even 1 run, Robert. So that going down, giving up 3 in that bottom of the fourth, especially with your starting pitcher, I just feel like this team is just in such a much better position to have an inning like that top of the eighth where they're like, hey, let's just go score 5 and win this game.
Right. And those were all earned this time, right? Opposite of Bidelsheys, I thought Connor Fennell looked really good for Vanderbilt, 10 strikeouts over 5 innings, other than the home run to Davalon, the first one. He looked awesome. Six, let's see, retired his last 7 guys. Had a pretty high pitch count. I believe that's why he probably came out after only 5, because he only gave up 3 hits and walked 1. But all those strikeouts will add up in terms of pitch count. Just get to the bullpen. That was the story. And they did.
I will say, I'm looking at the box score here. Ryder Helfrich, the only Razorback that didn't strike out in this game. Every other hog struck out. That's just funny that it's him. I don't know why, but and then I wanted to mention Mike Mancini, the guy for Vanderbilt. He was a familiar face. He played for, I think it was James Madison last year,
Aha,
and
I knew that name.
yes, so that was a familiar face. All right, anything else to add from this series, Robert? I guess we should look at overall stats from the weekend.
Yeah, let's do it. Quietly, Logan Maxwell had two home runs. That guy's been nothing but consistent in the middle of the order. I think he hit fifth on Friday. Am I making that up? Fourth. Excuse me. Fourth and then hit third the other two games. He's been nothing but consistent. Overall on the weekend, 4 for 12, walked a couple times, scored 5 runs that led the team. So he's being exactly what you need out of the 3-hole. And again, how many home runs does he have this year? Because he only had 3 at TCU last year. It feels like that's the story. Every time he goes deep, he keeps topping that number. He's at 8. That trails only Iredale, Davalon, and Vahiva Aloy, tied with Cabello Aloy.
Pretty
This
impressive.
team is going to have almost, I mean, possibly 5 different 15 home run hitters.
I actually have a bunch of numbers I want to share. I did a story. I want to let you go through the weekend first. Anything else you want to add from the weekend before we get into that?
Let's see, what else do I want to go over here? Again, Cam Kozel leading the team in hits with 5. That was impressive. And yet, 3 different guys with 4, as we mentioned, Maxwell, Davalon had 4, Iredale had 4. The walks overall felt like there were a bunch of them. Let's see, I got 15 walks to 30 strikeouts. So not exactly a great ratio there, but you know, everybody who started except for Vahiva Aloy drew at least one walk this weekend.
Yeah, man, they're finding ways to get on base and finding different ways to win games too. Like they found different ways to win the game on Saturday and on Sunday, you know.
Right.
All right, let's get into some of these stats. So I put together a story on hogbeat.com just because there were so many notable stats for Arkansas that it was worth just a full story. So Arkansas, this was as of Monday. We're recording this on Thursday, so numbers have changed. Arkansas has played a midweek game. Different teams have played games since then. But this was as of Monday, so after the Vanderbilt series, Arkansas was leading the nation in fielding percentage, Robert. 0.987 fielding percentage, good for number one in the country. Only 13 errors on the season. No single player has more than 3. Vahiva Aloy has 3. 4 of those have come in SEC play, and each one of those was committed by a different player. So, no player with more than one error in SEC play. They also lead the SEC with 25 double plays turned. At the plate, Arkansas ranks second in the SEC with a .324 batting average, third in the league with 313 hits and 65 home runs, third in the league with a team ERA of 3.60, WHIP of 1.18. And their 2.90 walks allowed per 9 innings ranks second in the SEC and fourth in the country. In total, they rank top 10 nationally in the following categories, Robert. Top 10 nationally. This isn't top 10 in the SEC. This is top 10 nationally in the
Right.
following categories. Hold on, I lost it. ERA, fielding percentage, home runs per game, runs, slugging percentage, strikeout to walk ratio, WHIP, win-loss percentage, and walks allowed per 9 innings.
What is there to complain about? I mean, I obviously this season has gone much better than last, right? So there's probably less complaining. I'm not chronically online like I was when I was still in school, but this is a wagon, this Arkansas team. I mean, it absolutely has the tools, and we say this every year, right? It's not unique, but it something about this team feels different.
Davalon, first in the SEC in hits and runs. His batting average is sixth in the SEC. He, Iredale, and Vahiva Aloy all top 10 in the SEC in home runs. Logan Maxwell and Cujillo, both with 8 home runs. We mentioned that. Brent Iredale, 6th in the SEC with 25 walks. His 42 RBI are good for 4th in the SEC and 12th nationally. And let's see, Zach Root, he won a co-SEC Pitcher of the Week, by the way, for
Close
his
for sure.
outing at Vandy. And then the other co was a pitcher for Texas who played against Missouri. So what are we doing here? Which we're about to talk about here in a second. Zach Root, 10th in the SEC with 7.15 hits allowed per nine, and he has tossed 14.2 scoreless innings in a row, folks. So, four SEC teams ranked in the D1 baseball top 25. I'm sorry, that's not true at all. One of four ranked in. I meant to say top five. Dang it. There are four SEC teams in the top five. Arkansas, Tennessee's one, Arkansas's two, Georgia's three, and Texas is five. By the way, Arkansas plays all three of those teams later this season. That's just unreal. So I wanted to read off some of those numbers. That's where we're at. And this weekend, the Hogs have Missouri coming to town, Robert.
Yeah, do we want to hit on the Grambling State game in North Little Rock
Oh
first?
yeah, we need to do that too. I also need to tell the folks about Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen, the official mobile sports gambling partner of Hogbeat.com. If you do use Bet Saracen, you can get in on those double R props for the weekend. So those are going to be a lot of special prop bets you can get for Arkansas baseball, where you can't get those anywhere else because you just can't get college baseball props anywhere. So if you want college baseball props, you can get them for the Razorbacks on Bet Saracen. So download it. The app is free, but please only gamble what you're willing to lose. Do not gamble anything more than you're willing to lose. Please gamble responsibly, but you can have a lot of fun, and we appreciate Bet Saracen because they give Arkansas fans and Arkansas natives a lot more options because you're in the state of Arkansas. So download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. Thank you to Bet Saracen. All right, Robert, you are right. I completely missed over the game against Grambling, the team that I could play for. The Hogs win it. Of course, they had to make it interesting though, because it was a game played at Dickey Stephens Park. Now,
Right.
the story of this game, for those who were not in attendance, I freaking turned this game off. I literally turned it off the TV and just turned the radio on.
It was incredibly difficult to watch. I was not paying a whole lot of attention to it because I thought I might have a seizure. Anyway, top heavy performance, kind of what you didn't see in game one against Vanderbilt. The Aloys delivered. You look at the brothers plus Charles Davalon, six hits, six runs combined at the top of the order. Tate McGuire with four innings, gave up a run. That was his first start in an Arkansas uniform, I believe. Or did he have one last year?
It was his first start as a Razorback.
There you go. So good 12 outs from him. Colin Fisher comes in, gives up a run in an inning, and then Dylan Carter has a bit of a rough go. Couple earned in two innings, and then Cole Gibler finishes it off, striking out the side in the ninth. No hits, one walk, five total Ks in two innings. So, definitely finishing strong on the mound in that respect. No home runs in this one. Worth noting that Carson Bowles came up with a trio of RBIs, had a, let's see, bases loaded single in the first or in the third with nobody out, and then had an RBI fielder's choice. They're in the sixth to, I believe, driving the seventh run of the game. So, nice showing in a rare spot start for Carson Bowles. Good job on the at the top of the order from the starters, right? Brent Iredale had a sac fly in the four hole, but the bottom of the lineup looked a lot different. As I mentioned, Bowles in the five hole, Zane Becker catching at six, Michael Anderson drawing into the lineup for the first time since I think. Opening weekend at first in the seven hole, Kendall Diggs batting eighth and right, and Gabe Frazier at second batting ninth. So a little bit different look from the Hogs on Tuesday.
Yep. Yeah, so the real story of the game, not the TV broadcast, which was awful, but the bottom of the lineup here, man. The top of the lineup gets the job done for Arkansas, but guys not really taking advantage of an opportunity against a bad team. Michael Anderson, you mentioned him. He doesn't get a hit. He did get a walk. But the real story, man, Kendall Diggs. I mean, it's a lot of Hog fans are talking about it. I feel like it's a conversation we need to have. Oh, I just hate it for Kendall at this point. What is he at on the season? Let's just read off his season stats because he goes 0-for-4 in this game, strikes out 3 times, and he's now batting 170 on the year. He's appeared in 20 games. He's only got 8 hits and 47 at bats, and he's got 14 strikeouts.
Six walks. Yeah. Like you said, you hate it for Kendall. Wish that maybe his career took the opposite trajectory, than the one it's on. But at the same time, it'd be a lot more concerning if, he were in the lineup every day.
Yeah,
He's not.
absolutely.
He,
Absolutely.
it, it's not something you have to worry about if you're Dave Van Horn, fortunately. And he historically, he's been pretty good as a pinch hitter, so maybe he could still prove his value to this iteration of the Razorbacks. Who
Yeah.
knows?
We'll see. Gabe Frazier, he's kind of he's done a little bit more as of late though, like Gabe Frazier has had some moments, whereas Kendall Diggs really hasn't, at least lately. So
Right.
I'd like to see Carson Bowles continuing to get in and, do what you want to see from Carson Bowles. I feel good about, like, if you need Carson Bowles to come into a game later in the season.
Right. Small sample size, but Carson Bowles has an OPS just south of 1100 this year.
Wow.
So.
That is good. That's pretty solid. Cole Gibler looked great. That's a left-handed arm that you're gonna need. So let's get into the Parker Coyle update now.
Yes.
So Parker Coyle, when did it happen? He was unavailable for the series at Vanderbilt. I'm trying to remember, when did the injury happen for him? I can't remember. Do you know? I guess just when's the last time Parker Coyle pitched?
Let's see here. I'm pretty sure he threw against South Carolina.
His last game was March 23rd against South Carolina. He
Yeah,
went.
through six outs in that one.
Okay. So he has not pitched since March 23rd. He was not available at Vanderbilt. Dave Van Horn said after the Grambling game about Parker Coyle, he won't be pitching for a while. I can just tell you that.
Yeah, so that's a blow you didn't need. Not that you ever need a blow, right? But he'd been incredible to this point. I mean, overall, Parker Coyle has been your most reliable reliever. Just one earned run in 15 innings, comes out to a 1.07 ERA on the year, and then of course in SEC play, 2.25, as he's only thrown 4 innings. But yeah, I mean that's that was a solid about 6 outs every time he went out there.
Yeah. So that's a tough blow. And you also look at the fact that Hunter Dietz, another left-handed arm that you really need, I don't know if Hunter Dietz is ever gonna pitch here, Robert. I just don't.
Okay, so I heard his name on the Sunday broadcast.
It was not real, dude.
I didn't think, I was like, that can't be right.
It's not possible. Hunter Dietz from I don't know, man. Dave has said that the velo just isn't there. He's not the same guy that he was that fall, his freshman year. He hasn't shown them what he needs to show them. Somebody on our message board, and this is just from a message board. I'm not saying that this is truth. Somebody said that when he was throwing around 97, his freshman fall-ish, he's around 88 right now, topping out. That's what somebody said. It could be completely fake, but based on what Dave Van Horn is saying, which is the velo is not there, it's got to be, significantly lower than 97. So I don't think we're going to see Hunter Dietz, at least not anytime soon. And that's a left-handed arm you would love to have, especially with Coyle going down.
Yeah, if those stories line up, then that's not what you want to see at all. But I tend to avoid engaging with speculation. So
Well, you have like the numbers from a person on a message board, but you also have the head coach saying the velo's down. So
Right. And in that respect, maybe it corroborates that. But I'm gonna avoid commenting on somebody who I haven't even seen pitch in person. So.
yeah. But then you look at it, you need to get Gage Wood back. And that's what you're hoping to do is get Gage Wood back because then you have another arm in the bullpen, whether it's Gage or you move Cheese or even Gackle back to the bullpen.
Right. Just getting Gage Wood and his ability to give you several quality innings at a time back, that's going to mean a lot, right? Of course, you'd like to have a left-handed option like Coyle, replace Coyle. I don't know who that is going to be. There's a lot of righties in this bullpen, right? Just looking at the SEC game log here, I mean, aside from Root and Bidalcheese, Colin Fisher, I think, is the only left-handed pitcher who's thrown any SEC innings. That being said, Cole Gibler is notably absent from that list. Maybe he steps up. Maybe, given that you need a left-handed reliever, you throw Gage Wood back into the rotation, and Bidalcheese moves back to a bullpen role. Maybe that's how it goes.
Yeah, you've got options. I like either one of those because I do think Gibbler is cut out for this. I think that he's good. We were looking at it preseason, Gibbler and Carson Wiggins are, neck and neck of which of these freshman pitchers are better. And I think Gibbler's that good. And then I would be completely fine if Cheese was coming out of the bullpen too as a left-handed arm and having Gage Wood start. And that might be what they do. They like to go what they did with Brady Tiger when he was coming back from injury, throw him an inning and then let like Will McIntyre go six. They could throw Gage Wood an inning and let Cheese go six, something like that.
Right. I think it's a good move to save Bidalcheese for it. Like throw Gage Wood in the Sunday role, right? And make sure that the next guy out of the bullpen is Landon Bidalcheese. That way you go righty lefty, and you can effectively get a long start out of those two combined.
Yeah. Worth noting that like at this point of this recording, we still don't have the starting rotation released. So I mean it could be changed. I'm not exactly expecting it, but it's not out of the realm of possibility at this point that they could say, "Hey, let's do that what you just said, start Gage on Sunday." 'Cause it is Missouri. Like if you're going to experiment against a team in the SEC, this is the team. So let's move along to this Missouri series, Robert.
Yeah, Missouri, man. They're not good. I don't know how else to put it. They're 0-9. I was looking at their pitching stats through these 9 games. There are 8 Missouri pitchers who have double digit ERAs. Like it's just an awful, awful baseball team. Somehow they don't have the worst team ERA in the league. That would be Florida. But 10.78 comes pretty darn close to the league worst mark. They do have the league worst batting average against at 319, opponents hitting 319 against them. That's crazy. Hitting just 243 as a team themselves. Compare that to Arkansas's 329. I mean, that's a difference of 86 points.
My
This
goodness.
is, again, league best Arkansas through 9 games. And let's see, that's good for 12th. 243 somehow is, or 13th somehow is 3 from the bottom. Anyway, I the only good player I can identify on this team shares a name with somebody who played for Arkansas last year. It's Jackson Lovich.
Yeah. Jackson
He's
Lovich.
leading in just about every offensive category. I believe he's hitting 371 to this point. 371, 13 hits. 3 home runs, 5 extra base hits, 11 RBIs, leads in OBP, leads in slug, as a result, leads in OPS. Only 2 other guys hitting, qualified hitters hitting over 300 in conference play. That's Keegan Knutson and Caden Peer. They got 6 qualified hitters, and 2 of them are under 160.
That is so gross.
Yeah.
So, 11-17 on the year. They are not the best college baseball team in Missouri. Missouri State's better than them for sure. I'm just looking at the numbers. Their official stats page on NCAA.org. Literally every single statistic is above 100 nationally. It's just. Fielding percentage 193, double plays per game 232, ERA 243, scoring 143, OBP 157, batting average 125, doubles 261. It's just,
Literally hundreds of teams better than Missouri.
yeah. So, And you just look up and down the schedule, and man, they're getting crushed in SEC play. So they're 0-9. They were swept at LSU, swept at home against Ole Miss, and swept at home against Texas.
Yeah. For what it's worth, our not so exciting spread tracker. Texas did cover their Friday run line against Missouri. I believe it was 2.5. That ended in a run rule victory for the Longhorns. Didn't see lines because there was a doubleheader on Saturday, but if it was 2.5, then they covered twice again. Who knows how big that run line is going to be against a really, really good Arkansas team in Fayetteville, right? It could be much steeper than that, but in addition to being a series you need to sweep, this is a series that you probably shouldn't play more than 21 innings in. You can run rule this team 3 times.
I was looking at their attendance for their last two games, which were midweek games against Arkansas Pine Bluff, which so
They won 25-10 on Tuesday and then had to walk off the Golden Lions on Wednesday, for what it's worth.
again, one of the three Division I college baseball teams that I and you could play for, Arkansas Pine Bluff. So let's get that context in there. Attendance for Tuesday's game, a whopping 947 fans,
3 digits.
and then 989 on Wednesday. So they really got out there.
Even with the weather, I guess we'll have to mention that this weekend. Even with the weather ahead, feel like it should be in the 10,000 range at Baumwalker Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, at the very least. They'll have 900 people waiting to get in before they open the gates.
There will be 10 times as many people, at least.
Okay, so that's Missouri. Not much else to talk about with this team.
No, but the magnitude of this series, right? We've talked multiple times already today about how Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas are, in the top five, right? They're also the only three other teams tied with Arkansas atop the league standings at 8-1. This is a series, as I just said a few minutes ago, you have to sweep. You need these wins because you're gonna have to play all three of those teams. Fortunately, Tennessee and Texas will be at home. But Georgia next weekend in Athens. We all remember the last time the Hogs went to Foley Field. It did not go well, and that Georgia team wasn't even that good. They had Charlie Condon, but the overall power these Bulldogs have this year, you're gonna need to go in 11-1 and be prepared to lose that series. Even this is going to be a brutal final 6 weeks in the season. You got to get the wins where you can. Missouri presents a ripe opportunity to get three.
Yeah. So Arkansas and Tennessee are both in better position this weekend because the Hogs have Missouri, Tennessee has A&M, and then Georgia and Texas are playing each other. So one of those teams is going to come out of this weekend not looking as good as the other three, most likely. Also worth noting, Missouri's RPI is 169 right now, Robert. So a loss to Missouri is a really bad loss for RPI purposes.
It would hurt an RPI, yeah.
Yeah. So that's another thing that another big reason why you don't want to lose to Missouri for the Razorbacks. Looking at promotional schedule this weekend, it is Military Appreciation Weekend, so I assume they'll probably wear the camo hats at some point. And on Friday, they're doing baseball card pack giveaway 2 of 4 on the season, first 1,000 fans. Also, Friday's game going to be on SEC Network. Makes 0 sense. Zero, zero sense why we are doing national TV for the Missouri game. Why? Why would you ever do that? Let's just go to next weekend and look at the games at Georgia, which is a top five team, all of them on SEC Network Plus. The next weekend, A&M comes to town. You'll get one of those on national TV, a 500 A&M team. Florida comes to town, a below 500 in conference play Florida team. You get one of those on national TV. Texas comes to town. Okay, that's going to be a good one. Okay. National TV the rest of this season. No national TV for the Tennessee game or the Tennessee series. So I'm sure they'll flex one of those games though. I got more mad than I probably should have been.
Well, the bottom line is, like, Arkansas, Florida preseason, you look at that one on paper, it's like, well, that should be a good set, right? And the Gators could absolutely, look better than 1-8 by the time they run into Arkansas. But I agree with you in that there should be more flexibility when it comes to scheduling nationally televised games.
Yeah. Here's something crazy. So this Arkansas Missouri game, which starts at 7 on Friday, going to be on SEC Network. Texas, number 5 Texas, playing Georgia at home. Number 3 Georgia. This is a 3 versus 5 matchup. That game's going to be on SEC Network Plus. It's starting 30 minutes before Missouri Arkansas.
So normally we spend time talking about how ridiculous it is that Arkansas is not on national TV, but because they're playing Missouri, we're like, what on earth? What's going on? Why is this Arkansas game on national TV?
For real, but seriously, and even at the same time, Tennessee and A&M are playing an hour before. Like, that game should have been on national TV. LSU and Oklahoma, that's a top 10 series in Norman, Oklahoma. That game's not going
Tennessee
to be on
A&M
national.
is a title rematch.
I know, and they're like, who made this decision? Who said, let's put Missouri Arkansas on SEC Network over any of those three matchups, even preseason? Not even like looking at those teams right now. They're having success in the season. Maybe you didn't know Georgia was going to be this good preseason.
I think the schedule makers just wanted to mess with you.
I mean, like, they're the ones who their paycheck is based off of these views, if my understanding is correct. So they're kind of screwing themselves.
Again, should be able to flex them once we know, because again, I mean, this college baseball season is not going how even the rankers thought it would be, right? Wasn't A&M and Virginia the top two teams preseason, and neither is ranked right now. So there's so much unpredictability this year, and they should be able to flex those games.
Yes.
Anyway, I feel like we need to segue to the weather, because the
Yeah.
forecast doesn't look good this weekend.
Forecast looks bad. I'm not a weather expert, but if you just pull up your Apple weather app, Robert, and you pull up Fayetteville, you look at the percentage, 95% on Friday, 90% on Saturday, and 60% on Sunday chances of rain.
And oh, by the way, the temperature is just going to drop. High of 68 Friday, high of 51 on Sunday. It's going to be a challenge to get these games in. Again, it's 8:54 Central Time on Thursday right now. So a lot of time between now and first pitch on Friday, but I wouldn't be surprised to see some changes to the schedule.
The Pro Dome Balm Walker Stadium crowd out there, they're gonna have a good weekend.
Yeah.
You need to have a dome over the stadium for weekends like this. All right, Robert, let's wrap it up here. Also, Junior RBI Girl Day on Sunday. So if you want to get out there, Robert, and be a Junior RBI girl, you can do that.
Yeah, I'll pass on that. Thanks, though.
Okay. I wanted to, real quick, before we finish this episode, get your thoughts on the end of the A&M Kentucky game.
Oh man, so this is an interesting case, right? I compare it to the NHL, which you can't like. So like Matthew Tkachuk for the Florida Panthers right now, got hurt during the international All-Star break that the NHL did, right? He's on long-term injured reserve. The Panthers have when a player goes on long-term IR, his salary cap or his cap hit does not count toward the salary cap. So the Panthers at the trade deadline were able to jack up their spending without factoring in Tkachuk, and then Tkachuk can come back to the playoffs where the salary cap does not count. So it's a loophole in the rules, this whole trying to delay an inning so that they don't have to start one. I think it is brilliant that they have found a loophole and are exploiting it. I think the SEC needs to act immediately to either get rid of the travel curfew thing or tell umpires to shut it down, because it's so against the spirit of baseball. Like, I commend Kentucky to a degree for recognizing a competitive advantage and capitalizing on it. There shouldn't be that competitive advantage. I completely get why A&M's upset. I would be too if I were the Aggies.
Yeah. Two more things real quick. One, Oklahoma State and Jason Jones, 12-14 on the year, 1-6 in Big 12 play. That's hilarious. Two, torpedo bats, thoughts.
Again, I think it's great. You recognize a competitive advantage, you take advantage of it. Until Major League Baseball or, anybody else at any other level of baseball wants to ban them, go right ahead. The Yankees brought them to light, right? But you've seen stories about other guys using them and other teams ordering them for their players. How it took baseball scientists until the year of our Lord 2025 to figure out that there was a more efficient way to design the bat, it beats me. But if it is going to get more eyes on the game, I am all for it.
How long until we get torpedo bats in the college game?
Good question. By the end of the decade, surely,
Okay.
unless they decide that this is bad for baseball and we don't want fun, and I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody for listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. As always, a reminder for season five, one episode a week, no YouTube. So wherever you get your podcast, wherever you're listening now, that's where it's going to be every week. Thank you to everybody who listens. We really, really, really do appreciate you. And we're looking forward to talking to you next week to recap this series against Missouri and the midweek game against Arkansas State on Tuesday. That'll be in Fayetteville at 6 o'clock. That game is going to be on SEC Network, Robert. That'll be a national TV game. So, and then the Hogs go to Georgia next week. So excited to talk about all that on next week's episode of the Diamond Hogs
Two.
podcast.
You've been listening to the Diamond Hogs podcast. Follow the guys on Twitter at Choate Mason and at DRStew32.